It is time to learn. We learn every Monday when we speak to this next gentleman, and that is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us every Monday. Of course, you're on Robin Hood Radio, and we talk about food and food-related subjects. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning. And if you hear the patter of little feet, it's because I'm at my nephew and niece's house with their two little girls, and it's hard for them to conceive that I'm on the radio when I'm really on the phone. So anyway, they're very good, but you might hear a little squeak in the background.
That's fine.
That you don't normally get when I'm on the air. So, you know, I can't cook, it's too hot mode.
Yep.
Still. And if the guests through August, listen, I don't know what I'm going to do if the globe warms enough that this kind of temperature continues into the fall, because I like to cook and I like eating my own food. It's tough these days. But the other day, I bought basil. I don't grow basil. You guys up there are lucky enough you can grow basil. I don't have a garden to grow it. And I use so much of it in general that to have a little plant on my windowsill is really silly. But I bought a big bunch of basil the other day for some reason, and then, of course, I had all this other basil left over. So I said, I haven't made pesto in a long time, since probably last summer. And these days, by the way, the pesto that everybody knows as pesto, the common pesto, is only one of many kinds of pesto in Italy. It's become internationally famous. I can go anywhere in the world and get pesto these days. Maybe not in Asia, I don't know. But that's from Liguria, which is the far northwest of Italy. And, of course, everywhere you grow things taste different. And the basil in Liguria, which is on the sea, is particularly fragrant and I think strong even in a delicate way. I don't know how to describe that, but it definitely has a distinctive taste. So what we're making is already a compromise. And, of course, these days, almost everybody, even in Liguria, makes their pesto in a food processor or maybe a blender. But last year I went back to doing it the original way, which is in a mortar with a pestle. That's why it's called pesto, because it's pounded with a pesto. So a pestle, rather. I realized last year that, you know, this is really better than in the food processor. And thinking because when you pound the leaves, you're really extracting all that flavor in a way that you can't by just cutting it, which is what the processor does. I'm going to change rooms because we're getting to be a little noisy here.
I think she was trying to just
when
talk
you're 3
about
years old. It's hard to understand.
Maybe she doesn't like pesto.
It's hard to be quiet.
Yeah,
pardon me.
Maybe she doesn't like pesto.
I know, and I'm also going to a room where there's better reception. The big house, and I'm outside Philadelphia. Just to say, so pesto in the mortar with the pestle really does taste better. And truthfully, I enjoy pounding in the mortar in the pestle. If you have any aggression you need to release, it's a good way to do it. And then you end up with something that's really spectacular. So I made my pestle the other day, and I don't know if I mentioned this ever before on the air, but I'm sort of down on pine nuts for a few reasons. One, they're hugely expensive. And even at Costco, where they do sell these big bags of pine nuts, they're expensive. Two, almost all the pine nuts we have these days, that there are European pine nuts in the market, but almost all of them come from China. And it's a different pine nut than the European pine nut. And in fact, I have some friends who are allergic to Chinese pine nuts. And I looked this up online last year, and indeed, there is something in Chinese pine nuts that you can be allergic/sensitive to. So I'm not using pine nuts these days. I'm using, and by the way, the pine nuts in a pesto add a certain creaminess You know, pine nuts don't have a lot of flavor, some flavor, but they do have a very creamy texture, and it adds that texture to the pesto. But these days, I'm using walnuts, which is not so strange, by the way, because in some parts of Italy, walnuts are a big crop. And if you have walnuts, you use walnuts. And even in Italy, pine nuts are very, very expensive. In fact, my Italian friends, when they come here to the States, I take them to Costco and they stock up on pine nuts at Costco and take them back to Italy. By the way, in Italy too, almost all the pine nuts come from China. And this is a rumor, not a fact, but the rumor is that a lot of the pine nuts that are coming from China are actually coming from North Korea via China, since we don't do any trade with North Korea. And so that's maybe another reason you don't want to buy pine nuts. And the walnuts work great. I just made a batch of pesto the other day, and I used up the rest of this big bunch of basil that I had. So in the end, it was probably about a cup and a half of clean basil leaves, maybe a little bit more. And I put that in my big mortar. I bought this mortar many years ago in Chinatown, and it's from Thailand. It says big green stone mortar. And you can make a nice batch of pesto in it. First thing I do, though, is grind up the garlic. So for about a cup and a half of basil leaves, I use one large clove of garlic. If you don't like garlic so much, you can use a smaller clove of garlic, but you got to have a little garlic presence in this. And I pound out the garlic with a pinch of coarse salt. Salt acts as an aid in getting the garlic crushed, an abrasive. So you crush the garlic nicely, and then I add the walnuts, and I crush them up a bit. And then I add the basil, and I pound and pound and pound and stir and mash and pound until I have a relatively fine mixture. And then I add olive oil, and you don't need a lot. So, you know, for maybe a couple of really, I use minimal olive oil. I try to anyway in pesto. 2-3 tablespoons for a cup and a half of basil and a clove of garlic. And, oh, how much walnuts? Let's say 2 rounded tablespoons. It wasn't a quarter of a cup even. It was maybe 3 tablespoons altogether of walnuts. And you just pound that all together. I don't add cheese until I'm ready to serve. Now, if you're going to make the pesto, just store it. And it does keep pretty well for a while, for a short while. Or you can freeze it and keep it for a longer while. I would use maybe a quarter of for that amount of pesto, a quarter of a cup of grated Parmigiano, and stir that in at the last minute. And then, for extra creaminess, take a few spoons of your pasta cooking water. Now, this is the only thing you have to put a flame on for. You got to cook the pasta. Pasta cooking water, and thin out the pesto. And it will become, you'll see, it becomes nice and creamy. You can do this all in the mortar and pestle if you like, but once the thing is pounded, stirring is fine. You can just put it in a bowl and keep it stirred. Or if you're storing it, put it in a plastic container and just skim the top with a little bit of olive oil. It should help the surface from turning dark. But basil crushed like this does, in fact, get dark. And if you find that the top layer of your pesto is dark, just stir it down. It's okay. It tastes the same. And then you're going to see just below the surface, it's this nice green color. Now, the other day, you know, the real in Liguria, in Genoa, which is, you know, they often call pesto genovese because it's from Genoa, the city in Liguria, they often serve pesto, not just with pasta, but on a mixture of pasta and string beans, and sometimes even diced potato. I didn't do the potato the other night, but I did do string beans. And I used maybe a half, well, not maybe, I weighed everything. For the amount of pesto I had, which was maybe a half a cup of the sauce itself, I used 6 ounces of pasta and 6 ounces of string beans cleaned up, and then I cut the string beans into one-inch lengths. Now, I cut them into one-inch lengths because that's about the same size as the pasta that I used. The traditional Ligurian pasta for pesto is something called trofie, T-R-O-F-I-E, trofie. And trofie are little twists of pasta. Tiny bit chewy, but really satisfying texture. And I boiled up my string beans ahead, and in the same water, after I fished them out with a slotted spoon, I added the pasta and cooked the pasta in the same water, and then combined the two with the pesto, and boy, was that good. But Liguria is not the only place in Italy that has a pesto. And one of my favorite other pestos is called pesto trapanese. It's from Trapani. Trapani is the northwest corner of Sicily. It's on the western coast of Sicily, is the province of Trapani. So they make this all the way down the coast. And it's served on its own pasta called buziate. Now, buziate, we all know, but we all know it as long fusilli. And, you know, you can buy that in the supermarket. Those are coils of pasta. In Sicily, it's often made actually as a fresh pasta, but it's also a dried pasta. And if you want to make a real authentic pesto trapanese dish, you should buy that pasta. Otherwise, it's delicious on almost anything. But I do like it, I have to say, I do like it particularly on linguine, which is not at all buziate, but also macaroni, you know, any tubular macaroni. And the pesto from Trapani does have a lot of basil in it, but the main ingredients, the two main necessary ingredients beyond basil, are almonds. They don't use pine nuts because in Sicily they grow famous almonds and very, very fragrant and flavorful almonds. And almonds and basil, and I'm walking back to my computer to get you some measurements because off the top of my head, I'm sure I can do that. And So for 6 ounces of almonds, it's about a cup and a third, 3 large cloves of garlic peel. This isn't going to make quite a lot, Jill, so don't worry about the garlic. 2 cups of firmly packed fresh whole basil leaves, of course, washed and dried. To dry them, by the way, I just turn them out onto a paper towel and pat them down and roll it up in the paper towel until I'm ready to use them, and that's quite dry enough. 1 teaspoon of salt, and the essential pesto ingredient here is ripe tomatoes, but can also be cherry tomatoes. You need a whole pint of cherry tomatoes or 1 pound of very ripe tomatoes, of course, washed also. And this you can do in a food processor. And of course, in the old days, they did do it in a... I've never made this in a mortar and pestle to see if it's any better, but in the food processor, it's good enough. I combine the almonds and garlic and process them until they're finely chopped, almost a paste. Add the basil and the salt. Process again until the basil is very finely chopped. Add the tomatoes and the oil. You need about 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil. And process it once again. And it should all be a fine paste in the end. Now taste it to see if you need more salt. By the way, when I was doing Ligurian pesto, I failed to say that when you add the basil to the mortar and pestle, you should probably add another big pinch of coarse sea salt was coarse salt in any case. I like, we're not talking about kosher salt. We need, like, you know, big crystal salt. And that's it. Now, this is a pesto because it's so rich in ingredients that can go on things other than pasta. For instance, I like it just spread on a piece of toast, bruschetta, or how about hard-cooked eggs? You can boil those up in the morning, maybe some potatoes, too, so that you don't have to put the heat on the stove when it's hot during the day, and serve this pesto on room temperature, hard-cooked eggs, and or boiled potatoes. If you're grilling, if you're outside grilling, this is great on lamb. So if you want to make lamb chops on the grill, or even a steak, or even chicken. I mean, I must say, it's so delicious, you'll flatter it on almost everything. Now, there is yet another pesto that I like to do, and this one comes from the Amalfi Coast. On the Amalfi Coast, they do grow walnuts, and but the main thing is it's a famous place for anchovies and also capers. And so this is a, I call it pesto cittadese from Cittara, which is the fishing village, the first town, or I believe the second town on the Amalfi Coast, coming down from Salerno. And this one does have pine nuts in it. You can leave them out if you want, but I use walnuts, about a rounded tablespoon of walnuts. If you're not using pine nuts, use two rounded tablespoons of walnuts and a tablespoon of almonds. It can be blanched or not blanched. They can be in the skins. A large clove of garlic and 4 cups, because this is what makes a lot and it's strong. We still together?
We sure are.
Okay. 4 cups of basil and a cup of parsley. By the way, a lot of people put parsley even in their Ligurian pesto because it does tend to stay green for a long time, longer than basil. And then 3 tablespoons of olive oil and a whole can, a 3.5-ounce can of anchovies. Now, Cittara is famous for anchovies, but not the kind that come in oil, but the kind that come packed in salt. So if you want to be really authentic, and also I must say it's a gentler flavor, you can buy, these days you can buy salted anchovies in a lot of places, and you wash them off. If they have not been filleted, you use your thumbs to split open the anchovy and rinse it under cold water and take out the bone in the middle. And in that case, you know, you don't need that many, maybe 4 or 5 whole anchovies filleted, and capers. Now, capers packed in salt are what Italians use in their cooking. Most of our capers are packed in vinegar or brine. Brine is okay, but vinegar makes them pickled. So that we don't want pickled caper flavor here. We want the salted caper flavor. And so they are very, very salty. So I rinse them in a strainer. And then I put them in a little bowl, and I let them soak in cold water. If you don't want them salty, at least 15 minutes in the cold water, and maybe you change the water once or twice in those 15 minutes. It could even be longer if you just want. By the way, capers packed in salt have this beautiful floral aroma because they are the buds of flowers. And now the one ingredient that you're probably not going to guess, I'll be able to put in here, that they do in Cittara is another product they're famous for in Cittara, and it's called colatura. Colatura is the, to simplify, it's the liquid that is expressed by the anchovies when they're preserved in salt. During the first preservation, the first part of the preservation process, they're put in barrels with salt, and they give off a lot of moisture. And at the anchovies, and they drain off this liquid, and then they're continued to salt. And the second liquid, which can be red because the anchovies are raw, that liquid is bottled. And it's actually collected just before Christmas. So it's a big deal around Christmas time on the Amalfi Coast and in Salerno and surrounding areas where they get the Cola Tour. By the way, Cola Tour has been made for generations, but only recently has been made commercially. So now you can buy it in a bottle, I think, in a fancy food store here in the States. Maya is showing me what looks like a mouse trap, but I don't think it is. I don't know what that is. It is a mouse trap. Well, why is she playing with a mouse trap? She likes to play with a mouse trap.
Does it work?
But it's a green plastic mouse trap. Never been a mouse in it.
One can only hope.
And it's not dangerous. Apparently, it's not a dangerous thing.
Other than that, I wonder. Kids' toys aren't what they used to be.
Toys are not what they used to be. Maybe not. But these girls love books. I have to say, they don't say "come play with me." They say "come read with me," which is a great thing when you're 3 years old.
Absolutely.
Say, "come read with me."
We have to give high props to your.
Yes, they have tons of books. And Sydney is 5 and a half. She's very emphatic about the half part.
Right.
Of course. She's beginning to read. She recognizes letters. She can sound out some words. And this year she starts kindergarten. Now they teach reading in kindergarten. They're going off to camp.
Oh, okay.
Okay, for a few hours anyway. Children are exhausting.
Yes, that is true.
Fortunately, these girls not only like to read, but they like to cook. So we made smoothies the other day in my no-cook mood. That was, we had for dinner avocado toast. I can do toast, even in the hot weather. They love avocado toast. Interestingly, they like their avocado toast with salt and olive oil. I thought that was so sophisticated. But I like mine with chopped tomatoes on top of the avocado.
There you go, and some onion.
Well, they're not going to do that. No, I put garlic in the tomatoes.
Okay.
They didn't notice. They did eat some tomatoes. We didn't notice the garlic. I don't think they would because they like garlic. So that's it. The house full of noisy kids. There we go. Somebody's having a meltdown. The little one.
Because
Mama went to work. Mama's a surgeon. She had surgery this morning.
Oh, man. Well, you're a surgeon of sorts.
Yeah, well, I fillet fish.
That's right. Exactly.
So, the brain surgeon decided to tackle a plumbing problem yesterday. And in the end, she said it wasn't as easy as brain surgery. We had no water for 5 hours. Because in the middle of her job, she realized she had to go back to Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever she goes for a part.
All right, Arthur.
All right, so anyway, I'm not making pesto today. I haven't figured out what I'm doing today.
All right.
But we'll want to know next
week. It'll be
week.
Something that I don't have to turn the heat on for, even though this house is air-conditioned and the kitchen doesn't get that hot.
It's still the principle of the thing.
Well, I don't know. I'm just like a wet rag in this weather. How bad is it up there?
It's
not bad yet.
Today.
It's going to get humid on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
But Marshall's wearing a turtleneck, so we're okay.
It's not a turtleneck.
Here it was up to 93 yesterday and humid.
Well,
yeah.
It got better here.
So everybody have a cool week if you can. Don't cook too much if you can.
Make pesto if you can.
Make pesto. Yeah, I must say, I'm going to be home on Thursday, and I will be pounding my pesto, I'm sure, because it was so good.
Yeah, that's a good tip, actually.
Well, pound it in air conditioning.
It's a good way to express your aggression.
That's right. Okay. All right.
Have a great week, everyone.
Take care, Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.